And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to The Real Shout Out Live. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. On today's show, Charlie and Striptease.
Steph chats to Simon Brandon about this brand new political starry double bill.
And life as a foster carer.
John and Charlie are live in the studio to talk about all their experiences with us.
All that today.
Right here on Live Shout Out. Live, woo-hoo! Live, live. Someone forgot to unprogram the computer.
I did, but you could have told me it was lined up.
So I didn't know that was what it was, and I thought, oh, it must just be our advert playing, and we got the timing wrong. It's coming out just before the show because it's done that before, isn't it?
The trail has, yeah.
And then I'm like, that's Steph's voice coming out. So well, welcome to the show. I'm like, she's like not moving her mouth. How is she doing that?
It was so good. You wanted to play it again.
Yeah, it was good. Of course, it was good. All shout outs are good.
So thank you, by the way, for last week. So many of us were ill.
Everybody. Yeah, everyone. Was going to be
all
on my
of
own.
Us, all oh, of yeah. us were ill. Poor old Steph was.
I had to dial Terry into my studio at home, drag Ez from the living room, coughing and spluttering.
Put a show to you. I was laid up in bed. I couldn't get out of bed this time last week.
Dear,
I was really, really ill.
Yeah, there are things doing the rounds at the moment.
Yes.
Or just age.
Viruses. Yeah, talking about age. Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing for Easter, Tara?
Me?
Yeah. You going north?
No, I'm staying down here.
What do they do north of the wall for Easter?
We don't celebrate holidays the same way you guys do.
No, that's why we're asking.
Do you put chocolate around?
I used to work them and then...
Do you have to find eggs?
I worked them and then put them all together to get an extra week off.
Oh, but, right. Yeah, that's one way.
Because no one ever phoned in or anything. You just cracked on with the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, being Scottish, that.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we were up in Cumbria. I like the
That's
way...
almost Scotland.
Well, no, there's lots of warning signs. As you're on the main road up towards the lakes, there's signs saying, warning, Hadrian's Wall is close.
It says, welcome
and
to
then
Scotland.
Hadrian's Wall is getting closer. Lock your doors after night because the blue hordes might come up over the wall.
I think you've got a serious mental problem here. I think there might be a problem with Steffi's idea of what the Scottish people are like.
So anyway, are we all like in the lighter evenings? It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Having that extra light in the Steffi's light already. Honestly, one thing's at you two.
The darker morning so, again, which is nice as well. Yeah.
Are you coping down here? Because for you, it's almost like suntan.
Why do you think I moved down here?
And you talk about me attacking her.
That's why I moved down here. I get an extra 3 months of decent weather. Honestly. I mean, I miss the long nights. You don't get them up down here.
When does your visa run out?
Well, it's when we go national again, isn't it? You know, it's brewing up there again. They've got the elections this year.
They have. Yeah. And Wales as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And let's be honest, the English MPs aren't performing very well at the moment, are they?
They're not popular.
In fact, I would say it's probably most politically...
Charged,
incompetent.
Well, it's just everything in the world at the moment feels on edge. It's like raw nerve territory, isn't it? It's like, you know, everything's going off. It's just a crazy time.
Like this studio.
I also think that it's gone a bit mad in the truest sense of the term mad. I mean, when you've got an American president who reveals his next policy on Twitter.
No, he doesn't do Twitter, he does his own thing.
Trump revision, social. And says, oh, the new Iranian leader is gay. This is what Peter Tatchell's feed this morning was saying, that Trump has said that the new Iranian leader might be gay. Ha ha ha. It's bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, he's not actually met any of the political things he said he'd do. He'd end the war in Ukraine and he'd lower inflation and he'd make cost of living better for America. Everything's actually on the opposite way.
He's very popular, isn't he?
I don't think he'll see out this term.
He's apparently on 32% in the polls, which
that's quite low, isn't it?
Lowest of any president ever.
Right, so people are seeing even his own supporters.
Well, if you're a farmer in America at the moment, you're really in trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's like his...
And that's the core conservative core, base, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Local even more so now. There's 10 ships of fertilizer waiting the wrong side of the Hormuz, the Straits of Hormuz.
That can go boom, can it?
Yeah.
Fertilizer.
Yes, it's explosive, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, can you talk to us about striptease?
Oh, please, Staff.
Do you want me to do one or put book?
I'd rather you really you do.
But it is radio, so we're safe.
Yeah. Well, we're not.
I think he says it all. And it was very interesting.
Oh, was that it?
Carry on.
That was the intro. Fair enough.
Take I'm one. Joined by actor Simon Brandon, who will be performing a political satire double bill, Charlie and the Striptease, which comes to the Golden Goose Theatre this spring. Now, we'll give you all the timings and costs and where tickets can be purchased later on. Simon, welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. Now, before we get stuck into the now, let's go back to when you were growing up. Were you always into theatre, school plays and that?
Yes. So I started off at a very young age. I did some school plays. I went to Italia Conti Saturday School and did some courses at other drama schools as well. And so, yes, I just love watching TV drama and trying to emulate some of the characters and the voices and all that kind of thing. And it just gripped me. I was just fascinated.
When you left school and college, did you go to theatre school, drama school?
After school, when I was 16, I did A-level performing arts. And then I went to university and studied drama and theatre, Roehampton. And then I did a postgraduate acting degree at East 15 Drama School. A long journey. But I acted professionally from the age of 20. And then I did some further drama school training when I was in my late 20s. So, mixed theatre, short films, a bit of television, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, the play you've got coming up is quite an old one, isn't it? It's Polish and takes us back to the 60s and 70s. So give us a little bit of background, Simon.
So it's basically in the theatre of the absurd. So in 1960, this term was referred to by this chap called Martin Eslin, and he referred to theatre of the absurd. And it was basically how everyday normal situations can be turned on their head and made to be looked odd, absurd, ridiculous. And it really was the beginning for Mrozek around that time in the 50s, 60s, for political satire as the way of putting light on a very dark situation at that time in politics. And so these plays, really, they exemplify the threats of the outside authoritarianistic state on the human being and how that affects them. And he wanted to make it look ridiculous and absurd as a way of, because humour makes, if you throw humour on something, it makes it more easier to see the heaviness of it. Being able to laugh at the most horrible things sometimes is just a way of throwing a light on them and making them more visible.
That's quite a balance to walk, isn't it? Putting humour into something so serious. A bit like how TV series MASH did the Korean War. And China Beach with the Vietnam War. It's a delicate balance, isn't it, to get that right, because there is a lot of suffering in those times.
Absolutely.
In the Soviet Union. So have you got many people actually on stage?
It is myself and a fellow actor, Roland D. Hill, Kenneth Michaels, and Orsolya Narj. And so there's the four of us. And so we perform in the, so it's, the first one is, you've got myself and Roland and Kenneth, and this play is called Charlie. And so these two characters, these two rather strange characters, come and visit this oculist looking to get a pair of glasses, and things unravel from there. And then the next play, you've got Striptease, which is two actors and the outside representation of the perhaps authoritarian state outside of this very closed environment these two men find themselves in. What's outside of those walls? And so it's quite that there's only about 2 to 3 of us on stage at any time.
Okay, is there any quick changes? Are you got to rush off and change outfits?
Thankfully, no.
Quick answer. Okay. Now, is there, so you've got an intermission. So did the two plays follow each other? And is there a sort of, is there a link to the two before the intermission?
Yes. So mainly the link, of course, is thematically. They're by the same writer, Mrozek. And it's all about the ominous power of the state on the consciousness of the individual. And so what happens in, as has been identified in a lot of his plays, is the plasticity of the individual's consciousness to change, and how their journey goes from being perhaps an objector, perhaps, to being compliant. And it's interesting to watch how the forces outside of these characters' lives change how they act within the plays. And so that's the link, really, is that you've got these two characters in Striptease who are facing very difficult choices about what they do and how they get out of this situation. And one wants to be more compliant and the other wants to be more revolutionary and wants to leave. And so you've got that these very strong themes cropping up in both plays.
Well, would you say it was a hard watch?
No. I mean, that is the... So if you've got Charlie, very, very darkly humorous, and this is where the humour comes in, because it's very dark and it throws a light on these very serious situations. And so there are some very... they're quite comic moments, but very dark at the same time. And I think it gives the viewer some light relief. So the first one is very, very humorous, and the second one is still humorous, but is more, you've got these two characters in a very situation where do they leave, how do they get out, etc.
Do you see any parallels from what your plays to what's actually going on now, especially with Ukraine and Putin wanting another Soviet Union?
Yes, I mean, I think these plays are still very relevant to today, even though they were written in 1961. The themes of state control are still very, very much relevant to the world we live in today. And yeah, things really don't seem to change very much sometimes.
No, who'd have thought, though, that the United States would be hurtling in that direction?
I know, that is why I think these plays are, that they hold a lot of value in today's world. And they've become, since actually doing, we did workshop the Striptease play last year, and since workshopping it, the relevance of it has become even more pronounced, sadly.
Yeah. Right, let's get in before we run out of time.
Sure.
So let's get in where people can get tickets from. And of course, more importantly, how they can follow you on social media and the other actors.
Right, so we can get tickets from the Golden Goose Theatre's website. And that's goldengoosetheatre.co.uk. And play runs from the 21st of April, or the double bill of plays, the 21st of April to the 9th of May. And it is produced by DRH Arts and Arsolya Naj. And so if you look on Instagram, you can find DRH Arts. And myself, Brandon Actor, Simon Brandon.
Okay.
Brandon underscore actor. Yeah.
Okay, make sure you get this right, Simon.
Yes, I know.
Now, moving on to the future, is there anything you can share us about what projects you've got coming up next? Because, of course, this is already planned, and so you've got this one in the bag, really. Obviously, you know, you're doing lots of practice runs, and but what's coming up in the future that you can share?
So, for me, I'm filming a couple of pilots for independent series and things like that. So that's going to be in May time, and so that's I did a feature film that I finished work on fairly recently, in which I play a therapist. So that's a very interesting. I can't divulge too much about it, but
okay. Can you give us a title?
Yeah. So that's called Session 7.
Okay, we need to look out for that. Is it going to be streaming anywhere we know?
So that is still yet to be decided what form that will take, but it's a feature film. So
okay, wow. So we could be going to the cinema.
Maybe. But we filmed it in and around Crystal Palace, where I live, and so it was good to be able to go to some of the local venues, because we used some of the local venues there. So it was nice to pop in and say hi, practically on my doorstep. So that was really cool. But so yeah, so do look out for those on social media, DRH Arts and Osolya Nagy, that's N-A-G-Y. So that's our director as well, or she.
Okay. Simon Brandon, thank you for joining us on Shout Out, and it sounds like your life is so full and busy at the moment.
I'm at the moment we're in Ireland for a short break, so we're in Dublin, so it's just enjoying some of the local places and having a look around. So
what a beautiful place to having a bit of R&R.
Indeed.
Simon, thank you for joining us on Shout Out.
Bye.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
I don't think that one needs an introduction, does it?
No. Well, so, not from our age group. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, well, if you don't know what that is, that's 9 to 5, but that's a... That's Your Only Great Always. It's a remix version.
Indeed, yeah.
Nice. Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like trending at the moment, that on TikTok and the like. Yeah,
she's very supportive of literature and LGBT, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Dolly. She's
80,
82?
Yeah,
in her
80s, yeah. Yeah, she's been around a long time.
Yeah. She's got her own theme park, too.
Yeah,
Dollywood, yeah.
So it's probably a brilliant park.
I'm not going to America.
No, me neither.
Sorry.
It's
going to take an Orangeman to disappear before I go anywhere in America.
You don't fancy spending a few weeks in prison, then?
No. I definitely would get arrested, yeah. ICE would help me.
So, well, apparently it's like 4-hour queues to get through security, even if you're like heterosexual, you know. They're making it so difficult to get in.
So there's a judgment call. Straight, gay, straight, trans.
Spot people a mile off.
Can you just imagine it?
Do you have good gaydar? If so, be employed by the Homeland Security Service of America straight away.
Can you flirt and pretend to be? So it sounds like the police force in the 70s and the 60s in the UK.
Seriously, the security, they've upped so much. It's leading to like 4-hour queues in like the major airports, and like, you know, even the Americans flying back home, like, this is ridiculous.
Well, you have ridiculous policies, that there will be ridiculous outcomes, won't there?
Yeah.
You know,
Canada looks far more pleasing at the moment.
Canada is very, such a different country. Its attitude, its
always
traditions,
very open and warm, and
they pretty much so. Yeah, they always have been.
Yeah, I've never been. Have you been to Canada?
I have not, but I have quite a few Canadian friends.
It's huge as a country. It's
vast. Yeah.
Yeah. Empty.
An empty.
Empty, vast emptiness. Yes.
And lots of resources, which is why America once had plans to invade it. If the Second World War hadn't happened, there were plans for the United States to invade Canada.
really.
Yeah, it's true. The Canadians know it as well. keep America at an arm's length.
So it's not a new thing then.
Well, what, like the Greenland business? Yeah.
Well, with Greenland, it's the Dutch that
Danish.
I know that they were going to blow up all the runways if Trump tried to invade. That was all over the press, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So such dark subjects we talk about.
but they're also quite funny in a weird kind of way. Because politics.
We are political at the moment, aren't we?
Who?
Well, trans people are really political. We're the
political football.
Yeah, we're the one that gets.
I don't think trans people are. I think it's the people against them that are the nasty political ones.
You have to live it through at the moment, isn't it?
You do.
Yeah.
You know, I think general public don't give a hoot, you know.
No, I don't think they do.
I think it's just these same.
Especially people in Britain and Bristol.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I see lots of trans people, you know, doing their business around on the day, and nobody bats an eyelid in the city.
But I do know, because there was a recent survey done, that support for things like gay marriage has dropped.
It has, yeah, and racism has gone up as well. Yeah. I mean, the situation for black and minority ethnic.
Well, people got they've been given their power, haven't they? An empowerment to be able to be and not be judged for being.
Exactly. There's a sticker on an art lamppost on the way I walk to work, and it says, "Let's make racists afraid again," because they've come out of the woodwork in the last 10 years.
And who's going to pay for all these flags that are up in the pools?
He's just got arrested, hasn't he? The guy that runs the group that have been going around doing them.
Fraud?
And he's got. No, for. Not anti-Semitic stuff, but basically hating anyone who's foreign coming in.
Oh, okay.
And they're treating it like as a hate crime type thing, and saying that he made lots of people scared. Mm. And they've arrested him for that.
Just
that
the world got the pride at the moment, really, isn't it?
I know. I'm looking forward to pride.
Yeah.
So are we taking bets that it's going to be a hot day?
Yeah.
Well, someone up there likes
ice. Ice is going to be a requirement. Ice machine again, please.
I thought you meant the Americans. I was going to say they can stay over there. anyway, have you got a few more news stories from?
I have a few things to discuss. Yeah. Yes.
Cool. Okay. Let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. A motion set for debate at the National Education Union's annual conference has sparked controversy after describing a recent UK Supreme Court ruling as part of an attempted genocide against transgender and non-binary people. The motion, due to be discussed at the conference in Brighton, argues that the court's clarification that the definition of a woman under the 2010 Equality Act refers to biological sex forms part of a wider attempt to erase trans people from public life. The motion also criticises government policy and the CAS review into gender services for children, which resulted in restrictions on the prescription of puberty blockers for under-18s in England. It argues that these developments risk denying recognition and appropriate support to trans and non-binary pupils in schools. However, the language used in the motion has drawn criticism, including from within the union's leadership. The NEU General Secretary, Daniel Kibidi, has publicly distanced himself from the term genocide, saying that whilst gender non-forming children face very real challenges, he does not believe the situation meets the legal or the historical definition of genocide. A number of Bristol-based trans and non-binary people have been recognised on a new national list celebrating trans changemakers across the UK. The list has been published by the organisation Trans in the City to mark the Trans Day of Visibility and highlights individuals making a significant contribution to trans and non-binary communities through their education, activism, community organisation and media work. Five people with strong connections to Bristol were included. They include Eden Edenbrow, founder of Inclusion North and Inclusion Health, Dr. Finn McKay, a senior lecturer at UWE Bristol and author specialising in feminism and transgender issues, and Haviland Jones, the co-chair of Trans Pride Bristol. Lauren Kirby, who helps run the Bristol Crossroads Peer Support Service, was also recognised, alongside the journalist and organiser Loie Trevina, a former editor of LGBTQ plus coverage at Bristol 247 newspaper. Organisers say the list aims to shine a light on often unseen work that improves the lives and well-being of trans and non-binary people at both a local and national level. Concerns have been raised following the decision by Bristol City Council to end its partnership with Bristol Nights, a project that has supported the city's nighttime economy and public safety since 2021. The partnership, which is due to lose its funding at the end of March, has delivered safeguarding training to more than 700 nighttime workers and provided hundreds of anti-spiking testing kits to venues across the city. Around 100 Bristol businesses, including venues like Lakota, the O2 Academy, Watershed, Old Vic and Thecla, have signed an open letter urging the council to reverse its decision. They warn that the loss of partnership could have serious implications for safety, inclusion and communication between venues and the council. The scheme has been credited with supporting women's safety initiatives and helping venues create safer nighttime spaces, including for LGBTQ plus people, who are more likely to rely on visible safeguarding measures and inclusive venue policies. Council leader Tony Dyer said funding for the project, including the post of nighttime economy advisor, had come to an end, but added that the council would continue to explore ways of working with the sector to keep Bristol's nightlife safe and resilient. LGBTQ Nation reports that a New York-based non-profit healthcare organisation is launching a billboard campaign in Kansas in response to recent legislation affecting transgender people. The campaign, run by Mayday Health, features billboards reading "God Made Trans People" and directs viewers to online resources on gender-affirming care. The organisation says that its aim is to counter misinformation and to publicly affirm trans identities. The campaign follows the passage of legislation in Kansas requiring driver's licenses and birth certificates to reflect a person's sex assigned at birth. The law was enacted after the Republican-led legislature overrode a veto by the governor, Laura Kelly. Official letters sent to affected residents stated that identity documents would become invalid immediately if they did not comply, with no grace period provided. Mayday Health's Executive Director, Liv Reisner, said that the campaign was intended to remind transgender people that they are not alone. Commentators have described the law as a significant erosion of transgender civil rights. Millions of people across the United States are reported to have taken part in coordinated protests last weekend opposing the presidency of Donald Trump. The demonstrations, organised under the banner No Kings, took place in more than 3,000 locations, according to organisers, and coincided with polling showing President Trump's approval rating at only 36% since his return to office. Organisers claimed that up to 8 million people participated nationwide, though this figure has not been independently verified. And finally, LGBTQIA plus Christians, including Roman Catholic and Protestant communities, will be marking Easter this weekend, the most significant festival in the Christian calendar. The holiday also brings a double bank holiday across the UK, with many people taking time to enjoy the spring weather, share food with friends and family, and step back from work. LGBTQIA plus faith groups have highlighted the importance of inclusive spiritual spaces, particularly at a time when many feel under pressure or marginalised. They say that queer-affirming places of worship and spiritual community remain an important source of care, solidarity and belonging. And for Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News. National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A bit of Texas Hold'em there. Terry bopping away in the corner, aren't you?
Square dancing.
Not with my knees.
Just got the image of that.
good though. You like that one? That's a bit
That's
fun.
All right, yeah.
So I'm trying to jazz it up a bit this week. It's like, you know, summer's coming and a party, and we've had lots of like dull, damp weather. It's like,
yeah,
sunny day today. It was nice.
Yeah,
it was
very nice.
Yeah. So anyway, a very warm welcome to the show to John and to Charlie. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? Lovely to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
So, John, do you want to kick us off first, Doc? Because I know we're kind of talking about a book, but it's based on pretty much half of your life, from what I could see.
Probably more than that.
More than that.
Yeah, well, it follows my career through from youth work through to working in children's homes, and then the last 35 years as a foster carer.
Gosh. So, what made you get into fostering in the first place, if you don't mind me asking?
Accident.
Total oh, really? Accident.
Yeah. One of the kids, I started work at the children's home. One of the kids was in prison. They asked me to go and visit him because when he came out, I'd be his key worker. So I started key working him, and he was doing quite well, apart from he was a prolific car thief. And
Not now, I assume.
No, he absolutely loved Jean-Michel Jarre.
Right.
And I knew very little about him, and I said, that's all right. I said, you keep stop stealing cars, I'll take you to see him, thinking that he'd probably come down Bristol sometime, you know. And he said, great. He said, he's in Paris in a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I swung it, but I got the head of the children's home to let me take him to Paris, and we had the most amazing time. And the story of it's in the book, because when he came back, he said, why don't you foster me? And I said, one, I'm single. Because, like I said, 35 years ago, when I was single, I only knew of one other single male foster carer in Bristol at the time. And I said, never something I thought about. And I related it to my boss, and he said, you know, that would be quite an idea. And it just happened like that. It was sort of organic.
Gosh. Did you ever think 35 years later you'd still be...
No. I hadn't found anything I really liked doing apart from youth work. Right. Which didn't pay, because I was part-time, never wanted to train for anything, really, you know. And I loved residential work. But when fostering came along, I just fell into it, because I was always kind of mentor. And I see myself as a foster carer who's more mentor than than father figure, perhaps, you know.
Right.
So I tended to mentor, because until Charlie came along, I had only fostered... teenage boys.
Right.
And then Charlie came along and threw everything up in the air.
So we're going to have to give away why we're saying that. So do you want to explain the difference now with Charlie?
Well, Charlie came to me sort of quite out of the blue, and they just said, we've got somebody a bit different for you. And every part of my career...
Lovely different lives.
Well, yes, every part of my career there's been something different, you know, from car thieves, you know, to burglars, all sorts. And then Charlie came along, and like I said, I'd only foster boys. I said, well, I only foster boys, you know, that's it. And they said, well, give it a go.
If I recall correctly, they didn't quite tell you that I was AFAB.
No.
So, do you want to explain for our audience who may not know what means?
AFAB means assigned female at birth. So I was born a girl, and nobody told John that he would be fostering his first AFAB girl.
Yes, so it was quite a shock for me, not just the fact it was not a boy, so to speak, but I had to suddenly learn all these terms, all these pronouns that, you know, being nearly 70 at the time, this was all new, and, you know, and it was kind of...
Is that hard?
It is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you're a they there.
When you've had a long life of using, just using the set terms.
Okay.
And I'd like to think one of the reasons I survived in fostering is I could adapt. But as Charlie would tell you, I too often used the wrong pronoun. But luckily the lad that helps me, Dave, he was much better at it. So he kind of pulled me up as well.
Bless his heart. He really did put you in your place, didn't he?
I mean, Charlie, I'm assuming that we've got some of our members are non-binary, and we've interviewed lots of they/thems over the years. And some people do struggle, because the typical male and female is so bred into you, especially if you're older generation. Are you the same, though? Most people we've spoken to, they don't mind as long as you're making an effort. If you slip up every now and again, it's not the end of the world. It's making the effort.
I really don't care that much, because after I left John, I lived in Eastern Kentucky, so I just decided it's not that deep.
Good Lord.
That's the effect I had on you know.
I mean, we should point out, for the, because we've been you've been in the corner of the studio for a bit, and you two seem to have a very good banter and a laugh. You seem to get on really well.
It's one of the keys to being a foster carer. You've got to have humour.
Yeah.
Because we do deal with a lot of dark things.
Right.
You know, we deal with obviously stuff like abuse, criminality, and we meet a lot of very bad people in our work. So if you haven't got humour, I learned that in the children's homes, if you haven't got humour, after a bad shift, you have this sort of dark humour, and you kind of have to have it, because otherwise it gets all too serious, and you know, you hear such, you actually see some horrible stuff, you know, and hear about horrible experiences of children.
I've definitely put John through some pretty horrible experiences over the years.
can you just touch on the difference, because we cover fostering adoption quite a bit, and we quite recently actually had a lovely young chap on, and him and his husband have just recently adopted, but I'm sure quite a lot of the audience will know, but for those that don't know, what's the difference between fostering and adoption?
Quite a big difference. One of the big differences is actually with adoption, obviously you make a long-term commitment, and a lot of it means that you don't get any money. As soon as you're basically adopted, you're off. You're not getting any payment for it whatsoever. Right. As a foster carer, my whole 35 years of foster carer, obviously I've been paid as a what was originally called teen care, but the upper level of fostering. And if I hadn't been paid as a single man, you don't have time to do another job.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to be paid. My brother has adopted, and once he adopted the young child, the other child's now grown up and child of her own. But there's no payment, you know, so there is a little bit, I find it a bit dismissive the way that adopters are not really given much support once they've adopted.
Well, I mean, we're going to go into the show a few weeks ago. They actually do get a lot of support from people, perhaps not so financially. They get a lot of support from the actual adoption agency.
I think perhaps more, you know, my brother adopted sort of many years ago, and it really was kind of turn up at the door and then a very occasional call.
All right, no, it's definitely changed a lot. This is a show from a few weeks ago, because me and Tara adopted as well, so it's something quite close to our heart. We were quite surprised how different it's changed. But fostering is a very different thing, isn't it?
It's 24. I'm not the adoption, but it's 24/7. You have different people come for different lengths of time, so it can be for days, weeks, months, years.
So how long were you, Charlie?
Oh, I was with John for, what was it, like three years? Yeah, and he can't get rid of me now.
Oh, okay.
Well, he did for 2 years, almost.
I thought Kentucky was a good idea, but...
you really enjoyed that 18-month break, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
So are you still fostering now?
Yes. I've got two lads at the moment. I've got a one that's nearly 16, and a big 6'4", 60, you know, nearly 16-year-old with sort of Jamaican descent, and I've got an asylum seeker, Turkish asylum seeker.
Wow. Gosh.
And does that mean that the children you've seen through all these decades, do they all kind of know each other? Do you know, or how does it work? How have you experienced it?
Well, I'm not going to say their names because I don't think that's a good idea, right, John?
No.
And the 16-year-old, I was actually living with him back when, before I moved to America. I've known a few of them, but only the ones that John like super keeps in contact with. The rest, they're interesting people for sure. They don't really get me as a person because I'm not really in their bubble.
Yeah.
Part of fostering is about letting go.
Okay.
Because obviously, generally when they come to 18, that's the end of foster care. There are some stay and put arrangements of recent years.
Okay.
But children invariably came to me about 14, 15, and would leave. In the old days, it would be 17. Now it can go on. So they stay for different times, and they bounce back years later.
Right.
Because how I see it is we plant a seed of a stable, safe place.
Yeah.
Probably for the first time in their lives that they've been really safe. And that works, that's good for them. But children either go back afterwards, not many go back to the family, but some go back to the family, and that's not always good. Because they start to see the family as a kind of rose-petal glasses sort of thing, you know, where they think, oh, they mum and dad were unlucky, or mum was unlucky, or dad was unlucky. And sometimes they go back, and it really is can be disastrous. But the problem is that this cutoff at 18, children don't really become adults at 18.
Well, we all say that. We're so experienced.
Well, it's true. I've got an 18 and 22-year-old. Yeah.
And we've 20s, been through it as well.
I'm about to turn 20 in a couple of weeks, and I still don't feel like an adult, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the sad thing, is that there is this cutoff.
But it must be a rewarding thing. I mean, if someone's listening and they're thinking, because a lot of LGBT people do think about, you know, should I get into adoption or fostering? And what advice would you give to them?
I think what you have to put aside is this perception that's been for the whole of 35 years, is that if you've got a spare room and a bit of love in your heart, you can be a foster carer. But it's very, very hard work, and it's very challenging. And I think what people need to understand is
it's but very rewarding.
Yeah, not rewarding financially, not at all. Because I'm sorry to bite like that, but you get this for social services, but you don't do it for the money. It's my only income. You know, what does a nurse do it for?
But you must love doing it.
I absolutely love doing it, because I've seen some amazing children. I think I've learnt more from the children than they've learnt from me often. You know, I've looked after a couple more asylum seekers, one of them who we had a 5-year battle for, and I managed to get 400,000 supporters. It took 5 years to beat it. And the other one who came to me at 16, and now 10 years later, has just got his settlement. Has got married in the meantime, and is hoping to bring his wife to the UK, and owns his own restaurant, you know, part owner in a restaurant now.
Oh, brilliant.
And came with nothing, came on the back of a lorry.
Wow. And very quickly, because we are running out of time, this is so inspiring, you ended up deciding to write a book of all things.
I started writing a few of the stories, and I tried not to make it an autobiography. Well, I didn't even think about an autobiography, but when I started putting the stories together, I thought, I can't exclude myself, I was just going to write these up. Stories that are separate.
Yeah.
And I realised, no,
you're the thread.
I'm the thread. So although it's not a continuous story of my life, there's some really funny and emotional stories.
You still got to add me more to the next one.
Charlie made the epilogue, you know. They made the last page, wasn't it?
So it's very,
is there
going to
be a second book?
I'm thinking what to do next, you know, whether a novel or whether, because I had a really good response for this one, so... when you get people, you turn up somewhere and you know, a few people say, "Ah, oh, got your book," and it really feels worthwhile. My feeling is, one person says a nice thing about something that's affected them in the book, it was worth writing.
Yeah, it's all worthwhile. Yeah, very much why we do this show.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, what's the name of the book before we finish up?
A Life in the Shadowlands.
Cool. And available on...
Yeah, through Amazon and the main ones, yes. Cool. Yeah, online.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll try and make sure we put a link up with the podcast when it goes up later on. Brilliant. Our website. Charlie, it's been lovely to meet you.
It's been lovely to meet you too.
And it's been wonderful hearing the stories from you, John.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for all your hard work over the last 35 years. It sounds very rewarding, so...
Yeah, it's been great.
Check out his book. Thank you both so much for coming in. Do stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Don't break my heart.
Wow, didn't know you were into line dancing, Andy.
I'm not, no. I've found club versions of all of them. That's what's going on. You know, I'm in a clubby mood. I'm feeling like young again. I think it's because I was ill last week.
It's spring.
Yeah, the spring. Forward,
yeah, it's all that, isn't it? It's that energy, frisky. Yeah.
It's a bit worrying.
You're not feeling frisky, Steph?
Do I feel frisky? I tell you, who does feel frisky. We've got two pigeons who've decided to nest on our swing on the balcony.
I bet Nookie.
They're bringing up twigs, trying to nest.
Oh, you wait till they start getting at it. Yeah. They're so doing, loud.
They're doing the humpy dumpy right outside our door.
My, we've moved offices since, but we worked. My last office was on the top floor of a building, and it had like this path around the outside of the glass windows.
Mm.
And you'd be there like in a meeting room on a conference call, and there'd be pigeons at it in the background. You see it on the camera. They'd be like, how do I keep blur?
You just have to hope the gay pigeons, so you won't have any pigeonets.
Yeah, well, I don't think they are, Tara.
No. You got a dog, can't you just like go and bark at them and make him go away?
He probably sleeps in the corner.
Yeah, he doesn't bark.
He doesn't care at all, does he? Let him
I'll
go
bring
away.
You around a lab. I'll see the skin a little bit. Of
no, he doesn't smoke spliffs, but it's like he is actually smoking spliffs because he's so laid back and chilled. He's a bit like Terry is all the time.
Terry just likes to hide in his man cave.
Sorry?
Yeah, Terry just likes to hide in his man cave under the stairs.
Under the stairs?
Yeah. Yeah, but this is imaginary Dave Tom Daly.
That's right.
I would laugh if Tom Daly ever comes to Pride one year and you've actually got to be on a microphone with him and we get to tell the real Tom Daly all the things you've actually said about him over the years on the show.
Nothing rude, nothing too rude.
Oh, we could get Terry a life-size cutout, cardboard cutout, couldn't we, for his birthday?
Could, yeah. Yeah. So Jason Donovan this year. Do you know what he's
Jason
he's
Donovan at Pride, yes he is.
No,
yes.
You can't say Jason Donovan, it's got to be Jace Don.
Jace Don. Well he's here because he's performing in Priscilla.
Queen
at the Hippodrome as well that
Fabulous.
Week. That's why he's here. I think. So
he is popular.
He is, yes.
Did someone say it was gonna be the last time he's gonna perform?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
He's
only in his 50s, isn't he? He's not
well, you want to retire and enjoy yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, he had a few rough years, didn't he?
Yeah.
I forgot to mention Passover. As well as Easter, it's Passover this week. Oh. So,
wasn't that quite a bad day for a lot of kids?
Huh? Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Unless you're
Mark.
But
there was a lot of death, wasn't there?
I'll have to look it
out. What a nice cheery note for the show on. Right.
I'll have to look it out.
Okay. Anyway, that's it for this week. If you have an event or story or perhaps you'd even like to get involved in LGBT Plus Radio, check us out online and please do get in touch.
All good services. We'll find us all good services. Our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, I don't know what we're doing next week. Is it Trans Pride next week?
I don't know.
It's gone past. We've done that. Yeah. You're losing time stretch. Already.
Yes. We'll be back next week.
Sort yourself something.
Out. Yeah. So, say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Easter.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.